When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up and welcome back to Kinda Funny's Ahsoka Breakdown. It's the finale, y'all. It's been quite a ride. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes. I am joined by the saddest boy I have ever met, Barrett Courtney.
Just shadows in the starlight.
Pretty good.
It was pretty good. That was a pretty good line.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And joining us as well, it's the one and only Anthony Carboni.
Mortis, baby!
And no longer physically with us back home in Los Angeles, it is Sage Ryan.
I miss the studio already. This is not the same. Yeah. Thank you. It turns out Discord calls suck.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. Yeah, Sage crushing the game out there. Of course, she joined us for Ahsoka live in the studio. Also did an episode of Games Daily with Greg on Monday. And helped us do the D&D stream, which everybody should check out if you haven't already. It was so much damn fun. Carboni, I did weave in the UMD storyline. I didn't do the best job, but I tried.
So we appreciate it.
Yeah. Of course, this is Kinda Funny Screencast. Each and every week, we get together to talk about the latest in TV, movies, and trailers. While our journey here comes to an end, another one begins anew. Loki Season 2, this week, which is wild. We'll be recording this on Friday.
So here's my confusion with Loki and I guess like Marvel stuff, is that I thought Disney was kind of doing like Wednesday for TV stuff and then Fridays for like movie drops. Are they changing that where now it's like Star Wars Wednesday
yes.
and MCU stuff?
For now.
Okay.
All right. We'll see. The good news that
they
that
I feel like every like new round of shows, it's always different.
They're trying to figure it out, yeah. Right? I do think this is probably going to stick where we get the Tuesday night drop for Star Wars, Thursday night drop for Marvel at 6 p.m. Pacific, which is the win for
game
all.
So nice.
Game so changer. Damn nice.
Love it.
So we will be doing Loki on Friday. The plan for that is for it to be a one-on-one with me and a rotating cast of people. Episode one is going to be Matt Rohrbeck returning to Kinda Funny.
Ooh, so that's exciting.
That. He already got to see the episodes. I'm very jealous about all of this. But we'll be talking about that in all the normal places. YouTube.com/KindaFunny, RoosterTeeth.com in video form. If you want the podcast, search for Kinda Funny Screencast, and we'll be right there for you. Of course, if you wanted to go above and beyond, though, patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to go. Just like our Patreon producers, James Hastings, Jedi Master Deadpool, Casey Andrew, and Nathan LaMothe have done. Because of their support, they get to watch a whole bunch of shows ad-free, live as we record them, get a bunch of bonus content, and not hear ads for Shady Rays, Rocket Money, and DoorDash, but everyone else will. But we'll get to that later, because we have to talk
I'll
about
I'll also
Ahsoka.
Come to their house and give them all a little kiss on the forehead.
Just a sweet little kiss. Just a little
they have
one,
to,
okay?
They have to specifically request it, but I'll come do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's get right into it. Carboni, let's start with you. What'd you think of this episode of Ahsoka?
Mortis, baby! The Filoni is Filonying. It's Filonied all over the place, and there's never been more Filoni than there's ever been now. I genuinely did enjoy this episode. A couple of our, you know, we ran down some predictions and thought about the odds, and the swap, the Sabine Ezra swap was definitely high up on our list, and that definitely happened. I did not foresee Ahsoka and Hu Yang getting stuck there too, but that also brings up Tim's very cool idea about like, what if we just explore this second galaxy for a while? What if we see what these new rules are about? The whole thing I thought was very, very satisfying as a finale for this show, particularly if they are planning a series two. If they are not planning a series two, what a wacky finale this would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sage, what about you?
Yeah, I really agree with Anthony on this. I enjoyed the episode very much, but I kept switching back between the like kind of two minds of it, of if this is the end of this show, I'm furious. If this is the end of season one, I'm delighted. I'm having a great time. I'm so happy. And, you know, we've seen things before where at like the end of a series, they put something that's like, oh, and coming next year is blank. So I was kind of hoping at the end of it, it would be like, and coming next year, Ahsoka will return in, you know. And because there wasn't that, I'm a little frightened. I'm a little nervous. I think overall on the episode, it was... I feel like a lot of things were wrapped up. I feel like a lot of questions were answered, and I'm not displeased with them. But they left me in a bad spot with Sabine on a personal level, and I was a little disappointed with that. Sabine did Star-Lord for me, and it's what Anthony and I were talking about last week, of like, she's kind of doing a Star-Lord, but there's a chance for her to recover it. And in the end, when we sit with her and Ahsoka, you know, Ahsoka clearly forgiving her and saying, hey, Anakin stood by me no matter what. I will stand by you no matter what. I understand Ahsoka taking that stance, but I'm not taking it. I don't have to stand by Sabine no matter what. I am not a Jedi Master. And personally, I'm like, girl, you literally released Thrawn. How are we not all freaking out that you just released Thrawn? And I know it is not exclusively her, but there was a pivotal moment that she didn't even try. And I'm just here like, oh, okay, I get why you forgive her for being stuck on the planet and like stuck in this galaxy with her. But also, she could have just like killed the whole galaxy or something, you know, for all they know, like... but like, I forgive you, I'll stand by you. And I'm not thrilled with that personally for that ending. So I hope, I mean, we know what happens with Thrawn, so it's very easy to use the meta knowledge to be like, and it all was fine in the end. But like, they don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess that's where I'm at the end, where I'm like, okay, hopefully there's more, I guess.
Barrett.
I feel empty inside, and I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. Like, and that's kind of where I'm at. I really... There's a lot of parts that I really enjoyed. I always forget and mess up how to say Rick's last name.
Famuyiwa.
He directs like great action. Like he's done a few Mandalorian episodes.
Mm-hmm. He's an executive producer on Mando now. He got promoted.
And, like he always knows how to do a good action sequence. There were some great fights in this episode. Story wise, I'm in a similar spot where. I get what they were going with Ahsoka's arc and like standing by her Padawan, and I love where that ended with Ahsoka, especially the last shot where she walks away and you see Anakin like looking at her and his Force ghost kind of just hanging out, and he's proud of her, you know, he's proud of like the path that she has chosen for herself. But I feel like it's a weird kind of way to wash away personal responsibility for, like what's been released upon the galaxy in a weird way. And like, yes, like, you know, save who you can, right? And we'll try to deal with the consequences. Like, that's the, like, Captain America MCU thing of, like, we don't sacrifice others. And
we don't trade lives.
We don't trade lives, and we'll fucking figure it out if we have to deal with the consequences and, take another step after we'll figure it out, right? Where it's like the conflicting thing for me is like, they didn't want to trade lives. They didn't want to, you know, just leave Ezra alone in this galaxy. But then they're like, well, we did it. We got Ezra back home. We also let Thrawn back. But we're here now, and that's all we can worry about. And it's a weird push and pull that, like, I don't know how much I hate it, how much I love it. It was a weird ending for me personally. I love that Ezra got to make it back. The moment with him coming on the home one with the stormtrooper gear, which is just like a classic Ezra move, because he loved to do some stealth and dress up as cadets. He used to like collect stormtrooper helmets and all this stuff, which was great. And I loved that Chopper knew immediately who he was. That was awesome. That's like your even if like you're wearing a costume, your pet knows your smell. It's kind of that thing. And him having that moment with Hera where he's like, Hera, I'm home. And then you see the shot of the ghost behind them. Very beautiful stuff here. I think the Baylan and Shin stuff is also weird, and not because of the reveal at the end, but I thought it was a weird choice to kind of build up Baylan and Shin as kind of like the Sith equivalent to this first season, and to not have them be like the force that they face at the end. Granted, there seems to be more story that they want to tell with them, but I think for just this season, I thought it was a weird choice that Morgan was kind of like the big ultimate baddie that they had to had to fight. So of course they're not going to do like a one-on-one fight with Thrawn, so like who's going to be like kind of his champion, right? And so I thought that was an interesting choice. And then yeah, like where they're going with Baylan and Shin, I'm interested in, but yeah, it's the same thing where it's like we don't know if we're getting a season two, and if we do, is it just focusing on them in this other galaxy, which like yeah, you call it like part of that you called, and like I thought it was interesting of we thought maybe all of them would get stuck there, but I think it's interesting of like now there's two diverging storylines, one where it seems like Ahsoka and Sabine are just going to live here and, you know, protect their little hermit buddies and just kind of live off the planet or whatever, and then they're going to have to run into Baylan, who's going to be fucking things up on that planet, and then we've got the other story with Ezra being back and having to face Thrawn again. I don't know. It was a lot to take in. I don't know how I feel about it. But with the season as a whole, I thought it was still like a really fun adventure, and probably like the like besides Andor, because it's hard to compare anything other Star Wars stuff to Andor, right? Like when it comes to the pulpy classic Star Wars vibes, I think this is the best Disney Plus season we've gotten since like Mando season two. You know?
Yeah. So, yeah. How do you feel, Tim?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm actually a little higher than you guys are, it seems. But like, I feel like the best thing I can say is I'm so satisfied by this. I feel like this, cool. To echo what you were just saying here, is I feel like this season of the show was like really great. Yeah. And I think that they made some wise calls. I was saying last week that I hope that we don't see Baylan. I hope that if we see him, he's just kind of chilling and hinting at a future. And that's what they gave me. Yeah. I don't need more of them because we're going to get it. I'm not worried about a season two. We're going to get it. And whether it's called Ahsoka or whether it's called Rebels season six or whether it's called Star Wars Hootenanny, we're going to get the follow-up to these stories. Like, that's the whole point.
Because the owl's there.
The freaking owl. You know what I mean? An owl in act 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 means an owl and the rest of them.
Yep, that's right.
But yeah, I just feel like these shows we keep talking about. I mean, this group of people has now talked about multiple seasons of multiple different shows. At the end of the day, it's just episodic Star Wars. Yeah. And I feel like what this has kind of like left us off at, I am most excited than I've ever been for one of the Star Wars projects ending of like, I have questions, and they're questions that I believe are going to be answered with characters I'm interested in seeing more of, and the diverging paths between the two different galaxies I think creates an interesting concept for unique stories, but then also for them to join together. You'll love the reunion moments. Speaking of reunion moments, I think that the Hera Ezra Chopper moment was so much better than the Sabine one, just in terms of blocking and in terms of dialogue and emotional
music,
impact. Like music, it hit me. It really worked. And I like that they're setting up that like, yeah, this Rebel squad like is going to face off against Thrawn again. They've done it before. Ezra specifically has been doing it for a long time. I kind of just feel like all that stuff worked for me. The Sabine and Ahsoka making bad decisions, that's life, baby. That's characters, baby. And I fucking love to see it. I love to see it. I love to see them fail and make dumbass calls, because that's how this shit goes. But yeah, them being stuck there, I think is more interesting than I would have expected them to leave off here. We're theorizing like what might happen. And I in no way expected the switch of Ezra making it alone and everyone else getting stuck. And they got me. You know what I mean? Like we've talked about what might happen for weeks now, and for them to do something that genuinely surprised me and that I'm happy with, I'm pretty surprised by. Having said all of that, I do feel like this episode felt kind of by the numbers and lacked excitement, and feels like besides the reunion of Hera and Ezra, I don't know that there was like memorable moments. There was a lot of moments that they wanted to be memorable, but I don't know that I'm going to be thinking back to Sabine using the Force legitimately for the first time, or
I'll remember the zombie moment.
We gotta talk about the zombies.
Dude, I love that they're doing it like that. That's super interesting to me, and like,
and they were cool.
They were very cool. Yeah, cool. And I'm happy that I forget his name, but Urlok or something like that, the guy with the sound wave voice.
Enoch,
he's fucking awesome. Anything he says is just cool as hell.
He's cool.
Like cool bad guy stuff. And honestly, I think the reason I'm highest on this episode, season, whatever you want to call it, like overall, is Thrawn, man. Like Thrawn, yeah. I feel like started pretty good in the show and has only gotten better. And where we leave off with him, I'm like, hell yes, this is what I want from a Star Wars bad guy. And I'm excited to see where they take it. And I feel like there's a lot of different ways. Introducing all the Mortis stuff and all this, I'm like, all right, cool. That's not necessarily the direction I wanted to see Baylan's story go. But at the same time, I trust more when the creators have a vision that they believe in and are actually trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And if Filoni's mm-hmm. gonna Filoni, let's let the man Filoni.
Yeah.
He's got a Filoni.
If yeah. anyone knows how to Filoni, it's that guy.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, shout out to the like, speaking of like the strength of Thrawn kind of growing in these past few episodes, just like seeing how he plays the game with his opponents, right? I love, like, yeah, I feel conflicted about Ahsoka and Sabine being stuck in this other galaxy, but at the same time, I love that Sabine decided to stay. Like, there was a moment where she could have gone with Ezra, but I love that she stayed with Ahsoka, right? That's kind of the whole thing. But I love that it was like, it's one of those like Thrawn kind of got a win here where, and mm-hmm. it sucks, right? And the last thing he says to her before they make the jump is, one wonders just how similar you might become when talking yes. about Ahsoka and Anakin. Ooh. And he says, perhaps this a Ronin such as you belongs here. You Come know, on, it's like, fuck.
So sick.
Yeah. Go wander the galaxy by yourself, dummy. You just lost to me. I'm Thrawn. Yeah.
While we're talking about that in particular, something I really enjoyed from this episode was the way that they kind of elaborated on why Ahsoka left Sabine. And it was a very small moment, in my opinion. But in acknowledging that the training was following immediately after and that her desire to do so was based on the Siege of Mandalore and the destruction of Mandalore was such a great explanation, because I also think that it is like so valid. Mm-hmm. And yes. it finally put that little button on their story for me that I really needed, yeah. which was, if she had accessed the Force then, she would have become a Sith. Like, that's yeah. it. Yeah. She would have been so overcome by her anger. It would have come from the wrong place. And she would have been a child
that a Jedi would have to like maybe think about killing in their sleep. We know that Jedis think right. about that. We know that like no matter how good the Jedi is, sometimes you just think about killing a kid in the sleep. Maybe the kid's related to you. Maybe you like the kid a lot. But
bad
sometimes
decisions,
you just
y'all.
Think about
what I'm saying, okay?
You just so think about it.
I just
it.
Loved that. I think that was so cool. And it was something that like immediately was understandable of like, oh, that actually explains everything and also explains why Sabine would have such a hard time understanding it too.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. like, I want to recapture this, like this power. They took my family from me and you're going to abandon me now? Like, that's horrible.
Yeah,
from this
and we were
kid's
waiting
perspective,
for that.
Like, of course, that makes so much sense. She just lost her family, and now this person that is like assigned family to her, the equivalent of like her foster parent, was like, "Ooh, actually, I think you might end up evil if we keep hanging out." So like, go, dog.
Your vibes are off. And
the vibes are rancid, and I just can't.
But it was good. Yeah, this is one of the things, you know, we've been saying every episode. I've been saying every episode. I've been hammering on it a little bit too much, maybe. But I was like, I need to know. Like, you can't just keep saying because of what happened on Mandalore. I need to know. And I'm very happy that when they finally gave me this explanation, it was a very satisfying explanation.
Yeah.
It was a very good one.
I totally agree. And it also allowed the very interesting Thrawn setup of him calling out Ahsoka of like, if it happened to your master, it could happen to you.
Yeah.
Like the idea that at this point in the timeline, Ahsoka might turn evil. I love it.
God.
I don't think it's going to happen, but the setup and
she did a lot of healing this season that like is going to prevent that. Obviously he doesn't know what she's gone through.
Yeah.
But like throwing that in her face was like,
that's great.
He knows her fear. He's using her weakness against mm-hmm. him because he's Thrawn.
Awesome. It's awesome, man. I just thought that was so well done. One thing that really bothered me about the season as a whole, but I think this episode really made it frustrating, was mm-hmm. how it often seemed like, especially in the other galaxy, like once we met the little turtle guys, like Sabine, Ahsoka, and Ezra were kind of just chilling and like taking things. Like it never felt like there was like any type of haste to, mm-hmm. yo, Thrawn is there. He's trying to leave. We will be stranded.
Yeah.
And then when they got stranded, it kind of just felt like an aw shucks, we're stranded, as opposed to a, oh, book, like we are stranded.
And that's why it was like one of those, like I ended the episode and I felt kind of empty inside, and I was like, I don't know if this is like the point, like the purpose here, and mm-hmm. like, yeah, there's just something weird about how they left that.
It just felt the weird only to me haste... that constantly in the last couple episodes, it really felt like they were chilling, like slowly moving, and then the bad guys would attack them, and then they started to hurry up.
Right.
And this episode, again, they're kind of chilling, and then TIE fighters come in, and then like, oh, shit, we got to go. And it's like,
yeah.
I feel like y'all should have been going.
I think the only person that showed any haste was in the lightsaber construction scene when Ezra was like, I really got to put this thing together because we're supposed to fight Thrawn as soon as we're ready. And that was the only haste.
Little Easter egg there.
Oh, my gosh.
It'll be too thin.
Yeah.
Because all the Clone Wars and Rebels. All the Rebel Sabers are like pin thin. They're teensy tiny.
That's
and it
so
just felt
funny.
Like a good Rebels joke of like, well, we're not going to do that. It would make them like weird and too thin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's another one of those things like the first one is the best when talking about like the history of the galaxy.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
It's, also, like,
it's funny though, because
Filoni's
like,
just like Filoni just knows. He's like, I know the jokes that you're making. I know the things that you don't like.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. Like, I loved him making the saber though. Actually seeing
so
in live action a character make their saber and it looking
really
like
fun.
It does in the Jedi games. I'm like, this is
sick. So good.
And also together. Like
then the word emitter was used. Like,
yeah.
That's awesome.
It was great to, you know, I loved the moment of Huyang being like, you know, there was only one other emitter like this. I gave it to Caleb. I love that Huyang called him Caleb because it was one of those, like, at first he says Kanan. I'm like, but wait, the whole point was that his name wasn't actually Kanan.
Right.
But you do, it's like a very quick, like, he does refer to him as Caleb. And I was like, fuck yeah, there you go.
And I love that it was like, this is a bad way to build a lightsaber. Why are you building it this way? It's like, oh, my master was Kanan Jarrus. He's like, oh, okay, then you can build a lightsaber like this, and I have this for you.
Yeah.
And it was just such a nice little button on it.
But
I think that was very...
I'm gonna think back to when Ezra made his lightsaber in Star Wars Rebels. He did it on his own. From what I remember, like, Kanan wasn't in the room, like, helping him, like, be like, hey, this is how you do it. It was a whole, like, he was doing it on his own. So I don't, like, I never got a moment from Rebels where, like, Kanan, like, was like, hey, this is how you do this.
Like, we can assume, though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't necessarily need to see it, but we can assume that Kanan helped out.
Also,
I did like that whole scene. I loved every time somebody tries to figure out how old Huyang is, we get no answer at all.
I feel like is also a fun little reference because it's David Tennant and he's the doctor, and maybe that's completely coincidental, but it's just kind of this thing of everybody's always asking the doctor, how old are you? And he's like, well, it depends on when you ask.
Well,
like,
we talked about
where
we
are. It's wibbly and wobbly.
Yeah. There was only one time they ever like sort of alluded to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in a novel, and they literally said that Master Huyang arrived outside of one of the ancient Jedi temples in a blue box. He was delivered to the Jedi temple in a blue box one day thousands of years ago, but nobody quite remembers when. And I love that. There was a lot of good, I mean, the saber looking like Kanan was good. Seeing the three of them.
Come on.
Seeing three Jedi fight together, man.
Oh my God.
It was just so good.
It was really weird and awkward. And especially
the first
like
scene.
Especially in the very beginning, and they get into the tower and they're all just kind of standing there and Ahsoka's just kind of doing the same two
Sabine
moves.
Sabine gets shot in the head.
Yeah.
It's the first thing that happens, Sabine just gets laser blasted in the head and she goes like
yeah. But like the movement was just kind of weird. It felt like I'd listened to A More Civilized Age, and they'd recently done the Disney World like Stark Cruiser like a hotel thing, and they were explaining the jet like the lightsaber training. It felt like just kind of like an aerobics class, and it, like watching that first part of that fight, I was like, this is weird. Something that like unnatural about this that reminds me of like how they described that. But then once they're like, all right, draw them out, like let them come to us. And when we started getting there, that's when it was like, all right, now we're popping off.
It was hype and it was cool, but I agree that like something felt off about it, and I feel like it felt extra off because it was so close to the Ahsoka Morgan fight, which was excellent. Like,
oh my god,
the intensity and the choreography was incredible.
To finally see Diana fight. So Diana Lee Inosanto, who plays Morgan Elsbeth, raised by the Lee in her name, she was raised by Bruce Lee and his family.
Holy
shit! She grew up raised.
What?
Yeah. She is one of the greatest stunt fighters and martial artists working in Hollywood today. And they held back. They were like, you remember she first shows up in Mando, and it's a good fight in Mando, but
it's not like anything crazy. Yeah.
They were holding back just how good she was so Morgan could have this fight. She's powered up. She's powered up by the great mothers. She's using the Blade of Talzin, which we saw in the Clone Wars, Mother Talzin versus Mace Windu, one of the best animated fights in that series. To see Diana fighting, and not just Diana fighting, but Diana was fighting using her style that she personally uses in her own practice. Like when you see her like putting the blade up against her wrist and doing like the big back steps, getting low to the ground, like all that stuff is her fighting style.
Oh my God.
And it's amazing.
During the fight, the whole time I was watching that fight, I was like, it's kind of weird that they got such a better stunt double for her than Ahsoka.
No stunt double.
I was like, that's so weird. Like she just fights so much better. And like, you know, like you'd think you'd get the lead, like the best stunt double.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
No, that makes so much sense. She was incredible to the point where I was so sad at the end of it when she does get struck and die.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, that was one of the coolest, like,
I could watch them fight forever
in Star Wars. That's that I feel like they threw away
a character there for at least a moment that they could use for a while.
What up, Tim?
I want to keep talking about this, but real quick, I want to give you a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Did you burn your last piece of toast? Have the avocados gone bad? Is the hot sauce bottle empty? You can try grocery delivery from DoorDash. You'll get everything you want delivered when you need it right to your door. You've trusted DoorDash to deliver your restaurant favorites, and now you can get grocery delivery that actually delivers too. You already know how much all of us here at Kinda Funny love DoorDash, but with thousands of grocery stores to choose from, you'll find the best in your neighborhood and boost your local economy with each and every order. You'll get exactly what you ordered, or they'll make it right. You want even more value? You can save on all of your grocery and restaurant favorites with a $0 delivery fee on all eligible orders with a DashPass membership. With easy substitutes right in the app and best-in-class customer support, you can get 50% off your first DoorDash order up to a $20 value when you use code KINDA at checkout. That's 50% off up to $20, no minimum subtotal, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code KINDA. Don't forget, that's code KINDA for 50% off your first order with DoorDash. This episode's brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use the code KINDAFUNNY. This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. And it has surprised multiple of my friends and people at Kinda Funny how many subscriptions they have that they forgot they are still paying for. That's why I'm such a big fan of Rocket Money. It's so easy to cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all the work for you. Rocket Money can even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bills and Rocket Money will take care of the rest. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. One more time, rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. I feel like Morgan's death was perfect because it left me wanting more with this character. And it ended in a way that I feel like was special and meant something. And I feel like she's kind of done her thing. This was her fight.
Yeah.
The line of for the Empire, and then Thrawn walks away and she goes, for Dathomir.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, man. This
we
was
thought so.
Good.
We
and
thought
I don't disagree with you on that. To be clear, when I say I was so sad when she died, I don't mean that it was unsatisfying. Yeah. I mean, she's so badass.
Totally.
It was heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
And I agree with you absolutely. It was like, ooh, it was just right.
What
You're
I love
so
about
right.
it, though, got, is she got powered up. She gets a weapon. I'm such a sucker for a power-up moment. I'm such a sucker for a weapon. And that weapon still exists. And it's still out there. And that is how I want things in Star Wars.
Yes.
I think... especially now that we know 100% for sure zombies, 100% for sure resurrection, I think that this may not be the last we see of Morgan Elsbeth, for sure.
The line of Morgan is dead. 5 minutes after we see the dead rise, I'm like, huh, weird.
Yeah. But they're going to a different galaxy, so they're not going to be there to do the ritual or whatever for her. Who knows how that's where that's all going to go. I'm still... not 100% sure they're all zombies.
And no, I think he had living troopers there.
Yes.
And the idea is when you die, we can bring you back. And when they're talking about making the sacrifice, they're willing to do it for you, Thrawn. I think the idea is like, hey, listen, you're going to go and you're going to die and we're going to bring you back to fight forever as an undead monster. And they're like, cool, let's go.
Like, I think there is a select few, because I think it was last episode where he says like, hey, I need y'all's like power again. So I think it's probably been used before, as we see with the, what are the cool all black troopers that like have like the muffled kind
Night troopers. Oh, are you talking about the death troopers from
death troopers.
From Rogue One?
Yeah. So like they have the death troopers, and that's where we get the face reveal where it's so fucking sick, where Sabine shoots off like the helmet and you see part of it, and it's like and it's Night Sister zombies. Like, we've seen these type of zombies before in like the Jedi games, and then also in Clone Wars, I think a little bit. But we've seen, like, they do resurrect their own sisters to fuck people up. And it's, like, that same type of, like, fucking gross zombie-looking thing. So they've done it before. But I would still imagine that most of those dudes are still probably alive. And, I loved the little tidbit where it's, like, did you tell them what they're signing up for? And she's, like, they're willing to do this and be resurrected for you.
I think they made a conscious choice to show the difference because A, they were much more powerful. They were much harder to kill. All of the other ones have been struck down like normal stormtroopers. And while they were fighting, you could hear little zombie grunts.
Yeah.
So I think that they made a conscious choice to be like, those ones are not. Look at the difference. Like, when they're zombies, you'll know.
Yeah.
So the cargo, when they show it at the end, those are coffins, right? This is a dead army. Like, Thrawn is bringing an army for the Emperor, right?
Yeah, which is awesome. I mean, again, this is like, we called it like episode whatever the hell, like 3 or 4, but it makes sense. It adds up. They're building to stories that we know. So, yeah, I think that makes total sense.
This might be a silly question. Do we think, because everyone's always been trying to answer this, and I was always team, they aren't really there. Those could be the people that end up on Exegol.
No, for sure.
But like,
I think
I was always team when I watched that those people weren't really there. I was always team that they were like force visages, because I was like, well, then where do they all go? Like, what do they do?
Yeah, because there's so many. It's a ridiculous amount of people that's just hanging out on Exegol.
Right. I always thought those people weren't real, or at least not really physically there.
What
but
a
now
fucking
I'm like...
horrible scene. What a god-awful scene. I ended up watching
movie.
It a couple days ago. Like, just the fucking scene of Rey
Star Destroyers. They come out of the mud,
god
and they
damn.
Have a full crew, and it's fine.
I'm more into, like, it's one of those interesting things where we've known for a couple of seasons, I think since Mando season 2, right, of like, all right, they're building up to maybe the creation of Snoke, the resurrection of Palpatine. And I do like the idea of like one of those things is Night Sister magic, because that is like a tense relationship between Palpatine and Talzin. Like, they weren't really besties, you know, that was a bit of like, there was some help between like Dooku and Talzin, but you know, like there was a lot of infighting going on there, even though they're both serving different parts of the dark side of the Force. I like the idea of Palpy being like kind of resurrected by Night Sister magic, and maybe like I don't know where that would
go
because
he doesn't cultists.
Yeah.
You remember there were like all these dark cultist looking characters like down there when Palpatine came back on his cool robot arm.
There's so many of them. Yeah.
I do love the cool robot arm. I want everybody to know I am not being facetious or sarcastic. Mm-hmm. I thought the Emperor on that robot arm was a dope image and it was cool as hell. But I think there is some magic involved because clearly they kept trying to clone and all they got was weird Snokes. But I do think that tension that you're talking about, I think the Night Sisters are being so just like obsequious towards Thrawn and just so like, oh yes, Thrawn, they all love you and we love you and blah, blah, blah. And we got that one little whisper of for Dathomir. And the second they're back on Dathomir and they've got more power than Thrawn, I want to see what happens.
It's gonna be good, man. And I love that that's where they're headed. I love that this episode ends and like Thrawn saying, we're going to Dathomir. Like, and that's the conversation. Like, I just think that that, again, puts us in a really interesting place that I'm excited to see how it plays out and like when it plays out.
So my question, you know, we got to talk about Mortis. We got to talk about the father, the son, and the daughter, and the Holy Spirit. And
and also with
the Jedi, the witch, and the warlord.
I was going to say it was reminiscent of the episode name.
Great name.
The first question I have, though, is for if we do get an Ahsoka season two, does that include the Thrawn and Ezra stuff still, or are we just going to focus on
Star Wars doesn't care, Barrett. Book of Boba Fett.
That's so weird. I know.
You forget.
I think, such a weird,
like,
all of the shows
especially
are.
If they're just focusing on Ahsoka in this other galaxy and it doesn't eventually cross back over to where they're from, I just think that's such a weird choice for a show called Ahsoka. And I know I'm saying that in a Book of Boba Fett world.
But even in like Ahsoka, just, I feel like Sabine was like the lead for the majority of this.
Sabine's Ahsoka with had an Ahsoka. Episode or two. Yeah, I know.
I think, like we've been talking about, the shows are getting to a point where more and more crossover is going to happen as we're heading towards the Mando movie, and they're trying to build like a cohesive narrative for that. I think if you were going to do Ahsoka season two, like Tim's saying, it's like maybe we'll get both, but maybe the Thrawn and Ezra and Hera stuff gets pushed more into Mando.
Thrawn movie, you know? Or
Or Thrawn, or like, you know, it becomes a thing where like this big bad, this consolidation of the Imperial Remnant is a big deal across all of the shows. So who knows where they fit them in?
Yeah.
Maybe they pop up everywhere. I think Ahsoka season two, though, we're really setting up, like you're saying, like, Baylan is standing on a statue that has to be the father. That's a statue of the father.
Absolutely.
The son's right next to him.
Yeah, he's looking at a mountain that is doing blinky with great power.
Yeah.
And I think what we have now is we have four different Jedi, right? We've got, you know, we can call Sabine still a Padawan, right? Mm-hmm. But we've got four different Jedi on this planet that has some sort of connection to great power in the Force, if not the source of power in the Force, and four different ideas of what should be done with that power. Shin is clearly like, when she raises her saber at the end there to the rest of the troops that were left behind, when Shin does it, I'm like, oh, Shin is like, hey, you roll with me now. Right. You're my troops.
Were those the troops that were left behind? I thought those were the bandits.
Yeah,
those are the bandits. Yeah.
Those are the bandits. She's like, they were not bandits? Left behind by Thrawn.
And she's like, bandits, you're mine now.
For a second, like, I thought she was walking up to like Ahsoka and Sabine's camp.
Yeah, I thought it was the hermits.
I'm excited by that, like with the hermits and stuff.
That was a good directing moment.
That'll be later.
I think they did that on purpose. Yeah. I think because you just see her raise it and you're like, is that for Ahsoka? Are you giving that to Ahsoka? And it's like,
is it a
I'm the bandit queen now.
Yeah.
See,
is
you
it
said
a threat
something,
or a surrender?
You said something that I think is really interesting. I hope we get a show that's just called Thrawn.
Oh, yeah, I would love
and
that.
And I hope that is, like, soon.
I have the feeling of a Thrawn movie. I don't know. I don't know if it's just because of the way that, like, the books are for Thrawn that I'm just like, ooh, a Thrawn movie would be really fun. I don't think it's called Thrawn necessarily, and we know that there's the possibility that it's just a rumor of a movie being Thrawn-centered. I would be in for a series, but something in my brain tells me that a movie, like, would be more likely, or a movie centered around him.
I think I would love to see a season show, just like this is Ahsoka is what it is. Having a Thrawn one that's just as much as this was focused on Ahsoka, having that focused on Thrawn, but really dealing with the Ezra and Hera and all that.
Right.
But
you know what it
building
is?
To the movie that would be Thrawn as the big bad. But I just feel like there was something like them calling this show Ahsoka was trying to tell the general audience of Star Wars that didn't watch the cartoons, Ahsoka matters. Here's your chance to get up on this.
Yes.
I think they could do the same thing with the Thrawn of like, you've heard about this guy for a long time from the Legends books or from the shows or whatever. Now it's time to actually pay attention to like get the general audiences familiar with the characters so that the movie actually hits and it's not just Mando and a bunch of randos that they don't know.
I still think he's the big bad of the Mando movie.
I don't think it's
a Thrawn movie. I think he's the Thanos of the Mando movie, and we don't get a Thrawn film on its own.
When I see a Thrawn centered one, I mean him as the villain. I think the reason that I keep saying of like, ooh, I don't know, as much as I'd love it, I'm with you, I would love this, is Star Wars never tells in television or movie from the villain's perspective. The villain is never the lead in Star Wars, even when, you know, obviously you've got Vader in the original trilogy that is very much like a star of this. It is not his movie. It is not his story. And we've never seen them do that anywhere but the books. It's the only time we've ever seen a truly villain-centered story in Star Wars.
And that's for Thrawn. For
change.
It could be cool. Yeah. So it could be cool.
Yeah.
But I doubt it because of that.
Yeah.
But that's like...
could be cool.
I forget, Carboni, if you remember, in like the current canon, Thrawn's like lieutenant dude who's like kind of his friend, and then
Rook,
the guy he sends back into wild space, right?
Yeah, I think that's Rook, right?
Yeah, I think so. I could be like, I want to follow up on that. Like, yeah, like if we do a Thrawn centered thing of like, I want like his friend to come back and he's like, hey, I brought some of your buddies, some of your super smart, you know, fucking warrior buddies, and they're gonna help you with this new empire and stuff. Like, that'd be sick as hell. I forget if there's a follow-up on that. But
where are we at with the shows? Like, I know nobody fucking knows, and even they don't understand. Lando might be a show, might be a movie, might not exist. Who the fuck knows? But is the next
I think they said
line...
Lando is now going to be just a dessert topping and a board game and maybe like a party favor.
Like, we have a lot of like scuttlebutt about like there's going to be more Mando seasons, there's going to be more this, more that, whatever. Yeah. Is the Acolyte the next actual project that we know, and I guess Andor season 2?
I believe so. I believe like, it's Andor 2 and then it's Acolyte.
Oh, really?
Because Andor 2 was already shooting.
So Skeleton Crew is still slated for this year, which that can't be right.
There's no
No, it says
it could drop in December. It could drop
that's
in December.
True. Boba Fett treatment.
Yeah, especially with like what? How many episodes is Loki going to be? Like another? That's gonna be 6 episodes. Yeah. So like,
yeah, that's a 6.
If that's
right.
Yeah, that could start late November, honestly, and go into January. That's what they did for Mando. Like Mando was like started Christmas break or whatever that one year.
I think it's Skeleton Crew. Then Acolyte season 1, and then I think Andor season 2 got pushed to fall because they were supposed to start and then pandemic.
Yeah. I think it was also they shot a bunch of stuff and then the strike happened. And so they didn't they started filming but they didn't finish filming. So right now Andor is slated for August 2024. We'll see if they
And then Lando is officially off the schedule, and all we know is in 2026 there's supposed to be a summer and a winter movie. And then in 2027, there in December, there's supposed to be a movie.
All right, cool.
Lando's
so, none of it
one of my most anticipated. So that's heartbreaking to hear.
What do you say?
Lando is probably one of my most anticipated. Oh. It's up there for me at like, it's Andor and it's Lando for me. That's like, ooh, that's what I'm waiting on. So it's sad to see that's off the schedule.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it does seem like they're actually like, there was some traction there because it was like one of those like, oh, yeah, we're doing a Lando thing. And then we heard nothing for like 6 years. But like we're talking about future stuff, but I want to bring it back to the Mortis stuff. What do you think Baylan is really doing with the Mortis stuff? Tim, if you don't know, there's an arc in the Clone Wars where Obi-Wan, Anakin and Ahsoka take a little nap. And then they wake up on this planet. They take a little nap on their ship, and then they wake up on this planet where there's a father who's like this force spirit, and then he's got a daughter and a son. The daughter is a representation of the light side. The son is a representation of the dark side.
Well, it's actually like, I'm sorry, I got to push up my glasses.
Fuck.
But it's cosmic force, and then land-based force, and then dark side. But there's no light. Somebody represents light. Somebody represents center. Somebody represents dark.
Yeah, well, either way, the whole, like, it plays into the interpretation of the prophecy of Anakin supposed to bring balance to the Force. These beings felt it meant that he was going to essentially replace the father, because the father was the thing that balanced and made sure that neither the daughter or the son had too much power on the planet, which then emulates into the greater galaxy in and of itself, which is like really just weird shit. So like the father's looking for a replacement. He dies, I think, at one point, and then the daughter is killed, and then the daughter's resurrected as our owl friend who's been looking over Ahsoka for
we
saw the owl at the end of the series as well, and we've seen it time and time again of like the daughter has some invested interest in Ahsoka.
Well, not just that, gave her some power too. Ahsoka had some power from the daughter transferred into her.
Yes, when Ahsoka was like revived, essentially.
Tim's look right now is the look of everyone when Mortis came out.
Yes, because here's the fucking thing, weird and kind of dumb.
Mortis is a very Shakespearean / Greek god interpretation of like what is going on with the Force, and I think Mortis is cool, but I think it's best as like, we all fell asleep and were Jedi and we had some sort of vision. This is some sort of prophecy. This means something. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people were like, please don't let this literally be real. Don't let them wake up and be like, oh no, the father, the son, the daughter are real characters that really exist.
I forget if it was in the season of Ahsoka or something else recently where like, they reference of like they still reported the Mortis incident like at the Jedi Temple where they like they woke up and all like remembered their dreams and they're like, hey, like this thing might have happened. We're not entirely sure. Like, who knows? And so I'm just
Jocasta,
wondering,
take this down and put it in the library under weird shit.
Yes. I don't hate it. I think it's kind of interesting, and I think there's a good possibility for it. I think, at least in concept, it's interesting. I don't think we've used it in the most interesting ways yet, but I do think it's interesting, and I don't see why everybody hates this and not The World Between Worlds, because it's like kind of the same concept. It's this like space that exists with inside the Force. So I'm like, I don't mind it. I don't think it's like necessarily. I don't know. It can be a physical place. It can be not, and it also can kind of be both because it is magic.
I was more down on the Mortis arc. Like I get where you're coming from with like it's very Shakespearean. It's like the like almost like the literal interpretation of what the Force represents. All this stuff. It was just so melodramatic. Like the sun was so fucking annoying.
I
get like what they were doing there because the sun was supposed
to
be
Sam
like,
Witwer.
Yeah, shout out to Sam Witwer. But it was like the sun kind of represented Anakin, the daughter kind of represented Ahsoka, maybe the father was supposed to represent Obi-Wan. It's an interesting thing, but yeah, now we're leading into this like maybe they were real, and what does Baylan want to do with that? I don't know, because both the father and the daughter were dead the last time, but I don't know how any of that works, and I don't know how you explain it and bring it into the story and make it interesting. Interesting though, it's like it's the statue of the father and then the son's next to him, but the daughter's head is like cut off, like the body, but that head
we
ain't
do
there.
Know that like Baylan is interested in the cycle. He talked about that a lot, like things just repeat. We're trapped in this thing. I do believe that Baylan wants to either control or stop the cycle, or he wants the power that is, he wants to take charge of the power that is making the cycle continue to happen. Something on that mountain, whether it's a literal interpretation of Mortis, whether the father and the son and the daughter, they may or may not exist the same way those giant statues of witch mothers may or may not have actually been real people, but they represent something in the Force. And I think Baylan, for whatever reason, has figured out or believes that there's something close to the source of like all the power that everybody's tapped into that is on that mountain. Mm-hmm. And he wants to lick it.
I was going to say, a lot of people make statues to a lot of not real things.
That's true.
Rocky. Doesn't mean that they're like tangible people. People are making statues all the time of non-tangible.
But I could also
people.
See if like Baylan read that report of like the Mortis thing and he was like, well, if Anakin failed at like being the replacement for the father, maybe I won't, you know, like I can see it being that too, you know?
What was up with the mountain? Not the statue mountain, but like there was like a glowing mountain that he
that's
was
what I'm
at?
Saying that's Balin's looking at that, and whatever that is, like,
that's what he's,
that's
searching.
A goal, whatever the power is, that's what he's looking for. And here's where I mentioned the heartbreak again, y'all. We no longer have Ray Stevenson,
right?
Yeah.
So whatever Balin was about to do, we are not going to get to see it from Balin's perspective at the very
Unless
least.
They recast.
They're going to recast. This is a new character, man.
I don't know. I kind of don't want them to.
I know.
I kind of don't want them to. I think Ray is great. I think Ray was so great. And I just
agree. But I think I am, I don't know. I think it is a decision that can only be made by people that are involved and knew him. And I think that because Star Wars is not known for recasting and it's not something they generally do, and they've gone to pretty great lengths with technology to avoid recasting, and it's very rare that they do, I do think that, and I do hope that if they do so, it would be something that, like, he would want, and because he would want the character continue. I don't know. I think that there is, like, it's very hard to take a stance on that as somebody who has no, who doesn't know this man. You know?
I think I just have my own feelings. Sure. That's all.
Yeah. Cause it's like, it's they go lengths to not recast for characters that we know and have known for decades and have like ties to, or like, you know, with the Black Panther conversation, it's like that. It's very different than what we're dealing with here. Like, this is a brand new character, like in a show that's like not the movies or anything. Like they're clearly building a story with this that matters. They're not dropping this. There's no chance they drop this.
No.
Yeah.
So it will be followed
up.
But
could there be, do you see, but I could see them doing one of those things where they're like, oh, Balin was heading this way. Something happened. Balin is like, whatever he died for, whatever he disappeared, it was up there and it's very powerful and we all sense it. You know what I mean? Like,
I think there's a higher chance of just putting a helmet on him and calling it a day.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel like there's so many ways around this that don't need to be he's dead or don't need to be whatever. It's just like, yeah, he's out there.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I don't know.
But I just like his character so much. I don't want to see it end.
I'm with you. I love this character, and there's so much to do with it, and there's so many open possibilities. It's not a wrapped up story.
In fact, it's the opposite of a wrapped up story, right? I feel like it's like very much like the beginning of whatever's going on here.
Yeah. And
yeah. Just with Shin as well, it's like, I really like how they ended it with her. I like her character a lot. It's really interesting to see, like, they could bring in a lot of directions. At the end of the day, she's gonna join the crew. Like, I feel like there's no they set it up too much here for all that to happen.
I don't think
but,
she will.
Or she'll sacrifice herself or something, but she will turn good by the end of it.
I don't know that she will.
No, I think,
I don't know if she'll turn good.
I think, because my thing is, like, they, like, she'll be like the Kylo Ren, the Zuko, but they'll, like, really double down on, like, no, she just wants power and she doesn't give a shit. So that was, like, the one thing where it's like they set up Kylo Ren to do that by the end of The Last Jedi, and then the next movie they're like, nah, but he's still Ben Solo, he's still a sweetheart.
But he's sort of
I would
baby
love
Lord.
If they fucking doubled down of like, nah, man, she doesn't give a fuck about y'all, fuck you. I don't care. She doesn't care if you reached out your hand and were like, join us, fuck you, cut off your arm.
I think there was that moment of hesitation, and in the other episode when Ahsoka was like, we can help.
Oh no.
Uh-oh. Vision.
There he is.
I made my decision in that moment.
Yeah.
And I think now she's the bandit queen of Peridia, and she's gonna go and try to lick whatever's on the mountain before Balin licks it.
Why they gotta lick it? Why they gotta
I get it, man. You gotta lick it. So that has been Ahsoka. What a journey it's been with us, all of us. It's been nice. Did we all talk on every episode? No, I missed one.
You missed me
this time.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a rare time. Usually we miss people here and there. Yeah. But this was great. What a fun time. We will return.
Bendu.
There he is. There's our boy. Thank you, Roger. We will return at some point for Star Wars. I don't know what's next, but whatever we find out, you will know, and we'll be here for you. Carboni, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere on the internet at A Carboni, except on Twitch, where I'm at Anthony Carboni. And every day this month, I'm doing the Impossible Spider Marathon. I'm playing through every mainline Spider-Man game that I can get through before Spider-Man 2 comes out. And right now we are trapped on the unbelievably hard and unfair LJN games of the 8 and 16-bit era.
Yeah.
And I'm doing that every day at twitch.tv/AnthonyCarboni.
I watched you play The Amazing Spider-Man, I think, which was like one of those games. They're all called just The Amazing Spider-Man.
Half of them are
it was
called
a black and white
Spider-Man.
One. You were stuck in the sewers with Lizard, but you had to get the Lizard here.
It was a Game Boy one or something.
It was a Game Boy one.
That looks rough, and like... Like, I thought I would punish, like, I punished myself by doing, like, a Zelda in review or Assassin's Creed in review. Watching Carboni play through these games, it's like, what are you doing to yourself, man?
I keep popping in, too. It's a blast. So, yeah, go check that out. Sage, what about you? Where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere on the internet at NotSage or at twitch.tv or youtube.com/PixelCircus, where I host a show with Anthony every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday called It's Too Early.
I love that. Like I was saying earlier, we're going to continue Screencast with Loki doing weekly breakdowns of that. That'll start this Friday. So youtube.com/kindoffunny, podcast feed, search for Screencast, all of that. But until next time, may the force be with you.